This is Conor Lennon from UN News. Keeping fit is an important way to cope with the self-isolation measures imposed by many governments as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. But how are elite athletes, used to exercising for several hours each day, managing to cope with the closures of running tracks, swimming pools and gyms? On the International Day of Sport for Development and Peace, I spoke to Brad Snyder, the two-time Paralympian with the US national team, who won two gold medals and a silver at the 2012 London Games, and three golds and another silver in Rio 4 years later as a blind swimmer. Brad was blinded whilst on active service with the US Navy in Afghanistan, when he triggered an improvised explosive device just a year before he competed in the London Paralympics. In 2018, he decided to make the switch to paratriathlon and has already won a bronze medal in the World Paratriathlon Series. He's now training to compete in the delayed Tokyo Olympics. When we spoke, I asked him about the importance of sport and exercise for everyone currently stuck indoors for most of the day.
I think it's critically important. I think it's important every day, regardless of whether you're a Paralympian, Olympian, or just a regular everyday athlete. I think it's critical for your health. It's critical for longevity. It's critical for your mental health, mental stability, your resilience, and all of that, especially now in the current situation where we're all sheltering in place and remaining in isolation. I think working out is a way for you to work out all the different stressors that you're facing, whether that's you're worried about your family, you're worried about the virus, you're worried about your bank account, whatever it is. Physical exercise allows you to sort of work out and manage those different stressors, especially if you do it habitually every day. So I'm a big advocate of exercise. Obviously, I train really hard to be at the top of my game as a Paralympian, but that will never change. Once I retire from sports at the elite level, I'll continue working out every day just because of how important I think that it is.
I presume it must be harder for you as someone who's far more active than most of us. How are you dealing with being stuck in a small place?
Well, this isn't the first time that I've been stuck somewhere, right? I've been deployed twice, and you know, you don't always have all the options you want in the world when you're deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan or something like that. So you have to get creative. I think my advice to anybody who feels stuck is to find something that works for you. Every one of us has something. Maybe you have stairs. Maybe you have a hill that you can walk. Maybe there's a hiking trail. Maybe you can ride your bike. Maybe you can throw some books in your backpack and either walk around or swing it around like a kettlebell or something along those lines. There's endless amounts of yoga videos and body weight videos on YouTube or whatever else. So, you know, find a friend who wants to do it on Zoom with you if you need to hold yourself accountable. But there's infinite amount of ways to get out there and exercise. It doesn't have to be sexy or in a gym or anything for it to work.
Anyone who lives with a disability has to overcome extra hurdles on a daily basis. Do you think the authorities have taken into consideration the special needs of that community?
I don't know that the authorities have really adequately considered, and frequently is the case as far as those with disabilities is concerned, but they have quite a bit on their plate. I do think that it's worth mentioning or highlighting that those with disabilities, especially mobility constraints, really do face significant challenges in a time like this. Especially when we're not supposed to go to the grocery store or we can't get to the grocery store reliably, you know, getting consistent and variable nutrition is really important at this time. But I do think the community has been able to unite under a common purpose and really help each other out and look after one another. And I guess that's a good kind of public service announcement. If you know of somebody who is disabled, who maybe hasn't had someone checking on them, maybe it's worth kind of looking over at their porch, knocking on their front door and asking if there's something that you can do. Maybe they're out of toilet paper like everybody else and maybe they need a hand. But I do think in most places that I'm at least familiar with, the community's done a good job of looking after each other and keeping us on the right path to get through this.
You mentioned the mental aspects of this situation and how exercise can help. Maybe some people underestimate the mental side of your game when you're an elite athlete. The Tokyo Olympics have been put back by around a year. How do you and other elite athletes cope mentally with that kind of setback?
Well, it's the same kind of advice I give to anybody in managing a situation like this. But we really focus on our routines. We focus on our day in, day out habits, our nutritional habits, our working out habits, our pre-race routines, our race routines. There's a lot of comfort in being able to repeat the same things over and over again. If you ask a gymnast how many times they practice their floor routine, they practice it millions of times before they actually go out on the floor on the Olympics or at the Paralympics and actually do that. It's the same for me. I I'm training just the same as I was before on my bike trainer, you know, really trying to hit the same numbers, trying to do the same type of workouts. And that consistency is something I really lean on to keep me in the right frame of mind. When I go to compete, you know, I've visualized that race many, many, many times, and I've done those reps many, 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 many times. And I find comfort in the repetitive nature of consistent training. And even though the external circumstances are not really what I had anticipated, you know, I'm still very much able to maintain a control over my routine. And I lean on that to keep the right mental framework.
When I speak to friends and colleagues, I hear a whole range of emotions. Some are quite enjoying not having to commute to the office and spending more time at home. Others are telling me they're going up the wall. What would your message be for people who are finding it hard?
It's very personal, right? I think this is an interesting experience where I think we're all finding our needs. I'm probably more on the, I don't mind the time. I don't mind the space. I'm more introverted, so I like to have the time to work on little projects that I've wanted to work on. Playing my guitar or fixing that step out front that's always needed to be fixed. So I think, you know, they're for the introverts who are, you know, kind of happy to have the space, then that's great. Use it. Make sure you use this opportunity, because once the life goes back to the hustle and grind, you know, you won't have the space. For those who are going crazy, that means you need something. You need some contact. You need some conversation. You need some touch points with the community. And I've heard a lot of really great ideas out there with leveraging Zoom and Skype and things like that to have community time, grab coffee with a friend. You don't have to do it at the local coffee shop. You can do it online. And while it sounds silly, there's a lot to be said for a feeling of connection with somebody. So I'd say, you know, step one is reflect on the current situation. Step two is reflect on your needs. And then step three, think creatively about how you can fulfill that need and really kind of adapt to a new set of circumstances.
The UN, of course, has strong links with the International Olympic Committee. Do you have any thoughts on the role sports plays in areas such as peace and security, for example, or other UN-related areas?
Yeah, and you should know, my master's was in international relations, and I'm actually going to get my PhD in public policy at Princeton in the fall at the Woodrow Wilson School for International Affairs. So my desire to work in conjunction with and in support of the UN. I'm disappointed so far to see that the UN's call for a ceasefire has been, is not necessarily worked in a lot of places in the world. Weirdly, the virus is an opportunity to get us to put down arms for a while and really reassess whether we need to be doing that in the first place.